surround yourself with pros, right? And experts, and join something like this Shift Spot, join something else, get a coach, get an advisor. But it's amazing how many owners that I've worked with in the past, and they'll struggle until they'll start working with somebody like me or somebody else. Because look, even Tom Brady, I'm not a Tom Brady fan, but Tom Brady had a personal coach, right? And yes, the best of the best always have somebody at their side or others. So do that. And we believe in community. That's why we have the Shift Spot.
Thank you for tuning in to Hacks and Hobbies with your host, Junaid. We're visited by our amazing guests coming from all walks of life. Want to learn their story, their struggles, and their journey on how they got to where they are today. So stick around.
In this episode, join us as we dive deep into the journey of Ken, a seasoned entrepreneur with a passion for helping CEOs and business owners level up their companies. Ken shares his origin story, growing up in a family of entrepreneurs, and how he initially followed the corporate path before venturing into the world of entrepreneurship. Discover the challenges, successes, and pivotal moments that shaped his path, and learn valuable lessons about building teams, overcoming obstacles, and thriving as an entrepreneur. If you're on the journey from corporate to entrepreneurship, or seeking insights on how to make that transition successfully, this episode is a must listen. Ken, thank you so much for coming on to the podcast.
Thank you for having me. It's a real pleasure to be here today.
Fantastic, man. What I love doing on the podcast is walking down memory lane,
yeah,
my guests, and learning their origin story, because we know that the journey is long. And as entrepreneurs, we know how crazy it can be at times. We're like, oh my God, is this really going to work? But then we keep pushing on and keep moving forward. And it just helps for listeners to see that in action and seeing that result. And I know that you've got a ton of experience in that space. So let's begin.
Yeah. Yeah. So it starts at childhood, like all of us. And my parents were entrepreneurs, their parents were entrepreneurs, and their grandparents were. And I grew up in a rather a chaotic household, because my parents were the type that put all their money on red 32 and would roll the dice. And sometimes it worked really well, and money was falling out of the skies, and sometimes businesses would just go flat out busted. And literally, I remember being a kid, maybe 11 or 12, and in my room, and my mom came to take me to the bank to borrow some money to pay the phone bill. That kind of scarred me as a child, just going through all those ups and downs and everything. Initially, when I graduated from college, I went to Purdue University, I took the corporate route, and I had a lot of success in software and high tech, and managed P&Ls up to $500 million and teams up to 450 across North America and international. Did that for some time. And then I actually, after doing that, I dropped out of corporate America, got tired of traveling 150,000 miles a year, like a lot of guys in their 40s get tired of that route. And I started serving as a fractional CEO and dropping in, and I called myself a fixer and helping companies and owners that were struggling get to the next level. And then that kind of parlayed into the Shift Spot. And the Shift Spot it's a community for CEOs and owners, and it's to help them guide them through their journey in life. And we surround them with other peers going through the same scenarios and facing the same issues they are, but also experts around a variety of areas, such as finance and marketing, et cetera. Yeah. And that's my passion. I want to go out and I want to help more entrepreneurs, where when I was serving as a fractional COO, I could only work with 1 to 3 clients at a time. And now I can really work with and help hundreds and hopefully thousands someday.
Man, that is such an amazing look into what inspired you to say, hey, they've been entrepreneurs, they must have a lot of fun with it, but I don't see that fun translating into reality. So let me just go the traditional route that actually has a millions of people working in that space. Let's make that work for me. But then you saw yourself, hey, this is really fun, but now I want to go back and follow my bloodline. And hey, I want to be an entrepreneur in a space where I've seen what works.
Yeah,
and I know that I can help others find that success
in
doing it the right way.
Yeah, I was fortunate because I was groomed by a lot of great people and some great executive programs, and worked at companies like Oracle and everything to help round me out. I guess it gave me more confidence once I did step out in the world and everything. And you probably know this, but my dad follows a lot of entrepreneur paths, and a lot of CEOs and entrepreneurs, they learn everything on the job themselves. And that's why new business failure rates are so hard. And you just think about it, it's daunting, but you create this great idea and then you have to teach yourself everything around leadership, and you got to teach yourself finance and operations. And it's a struggle. I'm fortunate to have that path and take that journey, if you will, and now to extend that and assistance to others.
And that's really powerful. And as you're using that 30 year of knowledge base to now help other entrepreneurs just stepping into the space, okay, what do I need to do? How can I get to the next level? Here are literally a step-by-step process on how you can achieve maximum efficiency with your company. So as the company or that you launched the ShiftSpot or became ShiftSpot, what was the first action that you did of forming the company?
A lot of tedious work, as everybody knows, right? But just getting the right processes in place, getting the website built out, making sure we went through an entire alpha beta program to test out the idea and everything, which I think too few do. So we did take a very slow journey at first and everything, and what the ShiftSpot is today versus what it was during those phases are night and day. But we tested it. We got a group of 10 CEOs that we know and ran them through it. And then we extended that out to an additional 10 for our beta. And then launched it live. But it's a lot of, anybody knows, starting a startup takes a lot of hours, a lot of time, and there's a lot of tedious work, and it's a lot of hours too.
No, you're absolutely right. And what I'm hearing you say is that you didn't build something in vacuum.
No, so that's correct.
10 people through the program to make sure that you maximize the output that they were getting, the deliverables, so say they were getting, plus filling in the gaps that you were like, oh, we missed this part. Let's fix this for the next cohort. Let's fix this for the next CEO that we work with.
Yeah, that's correct. And just getting feedback from them. At first, we overcomplicated things, right? So I think a lot of people tend to do that. And so we began to simplify, and we continue to simplify, if you will. But getting that feedback around your targeted persona or demographic is of huge value. So,
So that's perfect, because what I'm seeing a lot of the time, like no matter which course you take, there's a ton of courses out there. There's a ton of people teaching, oh, this is how you can maximize on YouTube. This is how you can maximize on Instagram, blah, 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 which is really cool. That's the end product everybody wants. But when you take the course, the first thing they ask you, who is your target audience?
Right.
Who are you serving? Because you can't serve everybody. You're not everybody.
Like right.
Ken Paskins is one specific person. He's a CEO. He's gone through this corporate ladder, this corporate work for 30 years. So you're that specific person. You can't help everybody on the road.
That's correct.
So you're going to find people who have similar experiences as yourself, because then you can help them and answer the questions that are hanging out in their minds.
Yeah. And look, once you are a CEO and hit certain thresholds, such as 25 million, 50 million in revenues and or beyond 10 years, you've a lot of times have gotten past a lot of those things that cause companies to fail, right? Not always, but a lot of times, right? So we tend to focus on those CEOs, and it doesn't matter on age, just newer in their journey, right? That are struggling with, hey, look, why do I have to do everything myself? Hey, why does everybody come to me for an answer? Why do I feel like I have to work 80 hours a week? Why do I have to do all the tactical stuff? We help those individuals that are maturing, growing, and want to take their company to the next level and are looking for a partner in the side.
I love that so much, because as people start labeling themselves entrepreneurs, they forget the part of building the team around that entrepreneurship. Because if you're just working by yourself, there's also the term solopreneur.
Yeah. Right?
Like I'm a solopreneur. You're more like a freelancer. Yeah. In my eyes, you're more a freelancer. Sure, you might bring in people here and there, but you don't have a team that you can count on when you're sleeping, when something goes bad. Like, you have to literally get up and get in that fire truck to go put that fire out.
Yeah. And we don't work with solopreneurs, I guess the correct term. Yes. Yeah.
And that's a really excellent, so you don't work with them, but you do teach them, like, hey, you need to set up a team. And your podcast does that, I'm sure. You need to set up a team to make sure that all of these gaps are being filled.
They would get value out of the podcast and hearing that and everything. But the community themselves is really, it's focused around other CEOs, right? And one of the things we do, when we formed the community, I looked at all the ways that CEOs can actually grow, right? And there's many ways. One of us is they could hire a really expensive fractional person like me to come in, which a lot of them did. Mm-hmm. They could hire a business coach. They could get a board of advisors. They could join Vistage, EO, YPO, you name it. There's lots of different things out there. So I looked at all of those and I wanted to come up and create the best of breed per se. Yeah. But one of the things that we do that's very powerful where a solopreneur wouldn't get a lot of value is on a weekly basis, we have issues sections where the CEOs bring their biggest problems and we borrow that from Vistage and we help them solve those and problem shoot. But a solopreneur wouldn't gain the value out of that. Mm. So.
No, that's really good to understand who you're focusing on. It's CEOs, business owners, and entrepreneurs who already have a team, who are already working with a team, who's already made it a certain life. So you're further along in the journey than somebody who's just starting out.
Yeah, so, but you're struggling. Something's missing, right? Yes. And you don't know what it is, right? So
I love that so much because as I'm starting my business, right? So I've been doing this for a while as a solopreneur or in a freelancer, so to say. I've been in corporate for a while. I've helped launch several different products and whatnot. But when you're going on your own, I'm like, okay, I need to have some kind of team in place so that I'm not doing this day in, day out. I can take some time off and still make sure that the bills are paid, that the podcast is going out, that the work is getting done.
Yeah. And the freedom you have, honestly, if you can step out, a lot of people use the term visionary, right? But if you can step out and start working on the business versus in the weeds, it's just amazing on the impact you can have on your company once you get to that point. And the creativity, just you get to see the battlefield at a completely new level. It's like playing checkers versus playing chess per se. Mm.
Or if you were to look at it from a different perspective, it's instead of playing Call of Duty where you're in the dirt, you're playing now the StarCraft where you see the entire board.
Okay, yeah, there you go.
I'm sending a team over there. I'm sending a team over here, managing all the resources. Everything is working. So you're basically managing an entire city as opposed to being on the ground doing the work.
Yeah, I'll have to trust you there.
Hey, Ken, tell me, what are some of the common mistakes that you've seen business owners make? You've been doing this for so long. You've been helping a lot of CEOs go from struggling and getting really creative and really successful. What are some of those common mistakes?
Yeah. So they're really all the focus areas that we work on in the shift spot. But one of those is just the basics of human capital and what the HR components and functions are of their company and business, right? Another is a common thing is a lot of business owners tend to, when they approach a problem, they'll throw a lot of people at it and or bodies rather than utilize systems and processes. And then what I do see also is then when they get their arms around systems and process, then they tend to over-engineer things, right? So that's something I see. And then not understanding how to read your financials or leverage data to make great decisions and know when to make investments and how to make those. And then not knowing how to just elevate and delegate your staff. So you really should try to put yourself in a spot where you're focusing on your genius zones and what you're good at, and then surround yourself with others, trust them, set the right expectations, and let them go. So those are some common things that I've seen over the years.
Having that trust capability to be able to trust others to do the work that you've been doing it for so long,
yeah,
giving them giving them tasks to do so they take ownership. I think that's a really powerful, and I love it.
But trust is a two-way street, though. I can't just hire you and say, I trust you, go run with it. And sure. I've got to set the right expectations. I've got to have those. I got to have a weekly check-ins with you. You've got to prove yourself that you're going to execute. And then the better that goes, the more I can give you trust and empower you in everything. So
nice. So now the business owners have know what common mistakes to avoid. What would be some of the key things that companies can focus on to start scaling their company?
Yeah. So at the ShiftSpot, we focus on some core areas. Human capital is one of them. And then leadership and management and what those differences are, such as leadership is setting a clear vision, having a journey and articulating that to your team. Management is establishing KPIs and the one-on-one and the weekly touch points and giving them the proper tools and resources to actually execute and do their job. We also just understanding the basics of sales and marketing. Obviously, revenue can solve a lot of problems. Mm-hmm. Finance, we spend a lot of time in that area, understanding how to read a P&L, cash flow statements, and the benefits of that. And folks that are in our community we have CFOs in the community, mm-hmm. we have CMOs in the community, HR pros in the community that assist them. And then operations, so systems and process. And one thing that's actually unique, and I wanted to do this, and as I stated earlier, we looked at all the different ways that CEOs can arm and get help out there.
Yeah.
One thing that's really unique about us is we also have a balance equation, right? So we believe that to be the best business owner, you got to have a sound mind and sound body as well. So we also bring in experts to talk through that as well, health and other items as well. Mm-hmm. But we're all about surrounding business owners at 50 employees or less, 10 years or less of experience, grow and scale their business in a healthy manner.
I love that so much because without a proper healthy routine, you're not going to be able to perform because you might crash. If and you're in the hospital and you have the system in place, your company is not going to do that well either.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say it's interesting too, because a lot of companies, when you said hospital scenario, it reminded me that a lot of companies end up dying on a vine too at the end. Mm. Most business owners don't exit. And there's different stats out there, but I've heard 7% of all companies, do the owners end up exiting, selling so their kids don't take it on. So when they pass, their business dies as well. But if you do these right things, if you do these right things as well, then you can create a machine with predictable revenue that you can eventually sell, which is what you should focus on. And I think too few people focus on that.
I think that's a really powerful example because, that's a very powerful advice, because if you look at the perfect example in the world right now to see where this system is still working and didn't work at first was at Apple. Steve Jobs left, the company started adding more and more products and it started going down because they didn't have that vision. They didn't have the systems in place. They didn't have the philosophy of what it means to build a product with your heart. When they brought Steve Jobs back, and we know exactly what the company is now with almost $3 trillion, continuing to grow, he built a legacy that's going to last probably longer than most of us.
I would assume longer. I agree.
Oh my God, that's so good. I had one question that I want to ask, and it's probably one of the hardest things for us to do as entrepreneurs.
Yep. Okay.
How can I drive accountability? And get what I want? Because I don't know who would be somebody who will keep me accountable, but how does one drive that piece?
So it's interesting. So I've heard a lot of people get mad at other people because they're not holding them accountable. But I firmly believe that humans naturally want to be held accountable and do well and do good, specifically those that are in the workforce, right? Maybe the 48% that doesn't participate in the workforce, let's assume maybe they don't care, but I believe they do, but it's up to us to help them do that. So one of the things you got to do is establish clear expectations, right? And constantly go through what those expectations are. So one thing that I've always loved to do is with people that I've worked with is, hey, here are the top 10 rules of working with Ken. So show up to meetings on time. Mm-hmm. Don't come to me with problems, come to me with solutions, right? And list that out and make sure that there's a cadence of accountability. Another thing is, just don't want to get all political here, but sure, Reagan said, check, trust, but verify, right? So once you do have that trusting relationship, verify the information. Another way to a tool to use is, and honestly, I've been shocked once I dropped out of corporate America and started working with business owners, how few do this. Have a weekly one-on-one with your direct reports and a very structured cadence to that weekly one-on-one.
Oh, wow.
And don't make it about, hey, what did you do for me this week? One thing people have always praised me in is when I end those meetings with them, I will ask them, what do you need from me this week? What's getting your way and how can I help you? And that goes a long ways in building that two-way trust. And if somebody feels that their boss or their leader is there to actually help them, they're going to give more and they're going to want to be held accountable. Yeah. And it's just, I don't know if you have children, I have three daughters. And it's just, when the worst thing you can tell a kid is, I'm disappointed. Right? And if you tell an employee that too, it really hits them.
Yeah,
right. So those are some things that you want to put in place, some just tips and tricks and best practices to help drive accountability. And as you've done that, if the person can't be accountable, right? Yeah. So they still ultimately have to, then that's on them. And then you've got an employee problem, right? You have the wrong person in the wrong seat or a core value problem fit.
I love it, man. Thank you so much. So this has been a ton of value for me and a ton of value for the listener as well, because as entrepreneurs, as somebody who's looking to build a business, looking to build a brand, looking to build a legacy, it is important to have these things in place so that you can exit safely. You can have a legacy. You can have something to count on, as opposed to, hey, it dies when you die, almost like your hobbies, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's not a hobby. It's a business.
Yeah.
Cool, Matt. Let's take a quick 5-minute break. And when we get back, you'll share 3 hacks with the audience that they can implement in their business today.
Perfect. Looking forward to it.
I'm Junaid Ahmed, host of Hacks and Hobbies podcast and a digital presence advisor at HumbleZone. This episode is brought to you by Home Studio Mastery. I launched a consultation and course program to help podcasters and course creators to create a space in their homes that'll reduce the friction of creating content and appearing their best when showing up on camera. The pandemic gave us a lot of issues, but this one is here to stay. We're now so much closer to our audience thanks to video becoming more popular and affordable. I help guide folks who want to create Hollywood-worthy studios to not only capture great content, but also build more confidence, more authority, and be more comfortable in front of the camera. If I can do it, you can too. And with my help, you can do it faster. So if you'd like to learn more, visit homestudiomastery.com. And how you too can create a home studio that brings out your personality, professionalism, and possibilities. Hey guys, welcome back. We've been talking with Ken Paskins over at the Shift Spot podcast and company, helping CEOs and entrepreneurs make their businesses the best one ever possible. They've gone through a lot of different systems and seen what other people have been offering, what other companies have been offering. And they've built a system that literally fills the gaps for all of the things that you're doing. In fact, so much so that Ken is offering 2 of these specific items for anybody listening. They can head on over to theshiftspot.com /gap and enter the code Hacks and Hobbies, two of the listeners will get this $5,000 value to basically analyze your business to make sure that you're not missing anything and you can do the best thing possible for your business. Thank you so much, Ken.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You got it. All right, let's jump into the three hacks you have for the audience today.
Yeah. First one is, and hopefully this fits your category of hacks, but surround yourself with pros, right? And and experts, and join something like the Shift Spot, join something else, get a coach, get an advisor. But it's amazing how many owners that I've worked with in the past, and they'll struggle until they'll start working with somebody like me or somebody else. Because look, even Tom Brady, I'm not a Tom Brady fan, but Tom Brady had a personal coach, right? And yes, the best of the best always have somebody at their side or others. So do that. And we believe in community. That's why we have the Shift Spot. The other thing is focus on getting the right people in the right seats in your company. Right? And too many times also as business owners are starting out, we plug our brother in, we plug our best friends in. Mm-hmm. And I've walked into companies where I literally was talking to a business owner last week. He's been in business for 19 years. And we started talking about a staff. And he said, my staff is all C-minus players. And I'm like, okay, why have you accepted that? He's like, I can't fire people. I hate it. And I'm struggling. And that's why I can't scale. If you can't do it, get somebody that can. But you have to have the right people surrounded you. And then the third thing is use data to make decisions, right? Let's not do gut. Just like I said, when we started the Shift Spot, we went through an alpha, we went through a beta. Mm-hmm. Don't invest tens of thousands of dollars into ideas that you think might work and feels good.
Yeah.
Take those leaps with structure and science and methodically, and you'll have higher odds of success and a better return. Mm-hmm. So those are my 3 points.
Man, I love those, Ken. Thank you so much for your sharing and the wisdom that you shared throughout the episode, the bullet points, the stories. I think the one story that I wanted to hear was the devastating or
most tragic story.
Most tragic stories that companies would have gone through or have gone through because they didn't do something right.
Yeah, I got a call from a guy that I'll leave his name out of his company out of it from Puerto Rico, and is about a $10 million online supplement company, so all sorts of health supplements. Mm-hmm. And he brought me on and he had a COO and he said, look, we had this agreement that if we thought we were outgrowing each other, then we would go a different direction. And can you come in, look at this person and if maybe coach him up? And I got in there and within 2 weeks, I advised he fires him. And I advised he fired him for, I was seeing a lot of cancerous activity and everything. Mm-hmm. And he thought it was crazy. And this is one of those points of surround yourself with the right people and know when to fire. So he didn't want to do it immediately. We agreed to wind her down over a 3-month period, which I was completely against.
Yeah.
During that process, we identified that she embezzled $250,000. She had a phone number, evidently. I didn't know this, but there's phone numbers that go direct to prisoners. So she had a phone number so she could coordinate with and talk to prisoners and everything. And she had 6 aliases, right? So she had different names and everything. But, and because of that, and his drugs they're regulated. Right. And he had these manufacturers blending the drugs for him and everything. She got him in really jeopardy with these companies that were manufacturing his drugs as well. So the poor guy had no choice. I had to help him actually unwind his business, sell off IP to avoid lawsuits and go do something else. So it was all about hiring correctly. No winning to fire, do your due diligence and everything. And we spoke to attorneys and there you can dump up to $500,000 in this. You may or may not win. She's probably going to countersue you. So we just had to walk away, unfortunately.
No, that's really powerful. And you having that expertise to say, hey, this is going to go sideways if you don't handle it. Your expertise in helping him avoid all those problems. I think that is that is a winner, because who wants to go through those things? We've seen this. We've seen that the kind of stuff that happens on television. We've seen the kind of stuff that happens on movies.
Yeah.
You don't want a real life reenactment of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't put yourself in that spot. And that's, like I said, one of the hacks. Surround yourself in community. Surround yourself with experts. Don't do it alone.
Yeah. I love it, man. Thank you so much, Ken.
Let's jump into
Let's jump into the six questions that I love to ask my guests.
Okay.
Number one, what is the one hobby that you wish you got into?
That I wish I got into. I can't believe I'm saying this, but the first thing that comes to mind is skydiving. Always wanted to try it, especially when I'm younger. Now I'm too old. I'm more cautious.
Agreed. There is one way that you can really get close to it without jumping out of a plane.
I've done the indoor.
Okay, the indoor one.
Yeah, I've done that. Yeah. Oh, sweet, yeah. Sweet. It was rather embarrassing watching me do it, but I did do it.
I know exactly what you mean. I got to do it once and I was like, wow, this is really interesting. I don't look as good as I thought I would.
Yeah.
Next up, what did you want to be when you were a child?
A marine biologist, believe it or not. So Jacques Cousteau, I'm showing my age now, was my idol. I loved it. And I went out and got, my parents let me get my scuba license when I was 12. And then they found out that an adult has to be with them to go scuba diving. So then my dad had to do it. And he failed the test twice before he passed.
Oh my goodness. That is not fun. Before he passed. How old was your dad? Sorry to hear your.
He was probably maybe 40, mid 40s, upper 40s, right? So he hasn't been in schooling for a while. He's like, damn, I got to take this test and study.
Understood. All right, sweet. Next up, what is your favorite movie or TV show?
Wow. Favorite show now is Suits. Right. Mm-hmm. So I'm addicted to that. Like everybody, I was at a barber about a month ago and I heard everybody talking about it. And I think I'm in season 6, 7 right now, but I've been binge watching it and it's
you're
great.
Catching up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm catching up. I'm right where Mike just went to prison. So So
very cool. I like it. Next up, what movie would you choose if you got to play a character in it?
Boy, nothing comes, Top Gun, actually. Top Gun, yes. What guy doesn't want to fly a fighter jet?
I know, come on.
That's almost too easy, actually.
The easiest one right there. Top Gun, who doesn't? And I mean, that should be my answer, too, because I wanted to be a pilot when I was growing up.
Yeah.
Ended up playing a lot of video games.
Yeah.
All right, next up, who is your favorite superhero?
Favorite superhero? Boy, I'd have to say Superman. Yeah, I've never really put thought to that, but Superman. Yeah, heart of gold, strong, powerful, can change, make the world go backwards and go reverse time. What's not to love about Superman?
So. That was the funnest thing to watch, to him going backwards around the planet, change time. That's not how time works, guys. Physics, come on.
Yeah.
All right, next up. And the last question is, if you were a board game, what would it be?
Probably chess. Yeah. I'm strategic, calculated, methodical. I love playing chess. So I'd have to say probably not the most exciting game for most of your listeners, but probably chess.
I love it. Chess is a fun game for sure. Yeah. Lots of strategy. And with the new show on Netflix, The Queen's Gambit, I think a lot of people have
seen that.
The game.
Yeah. It's great. That's a great one too.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Ken, for coming on and talking with us here. Where can my superpreneurs find you?
Yeah, go to theshiftspot.com and all of our information's there. All of our other hot handles are there. And or if, like I said, have your listeners go shiftspot.com/gap and plug in Hacks and Hobbies. And we'd love to do a free gap analysis for two of them anyways.
Fantastic. Thank you again, Ken. We'll catch you in the next episode.
Thank you. Appreciate it. It's been fun.
Fun all around.
Congratulations. You made it to the end of the episode. Thanks so much for listening to our guest on this episode. Please send me an email at Junaid@hacksandhobbies.com to tell me what you loved about our guest today. You could find links mentioned in this episode on the hacksandhobbies.com website.